Okay, so I want to finish our brief discussion of Kinyan Sudar just to explain why we're doing this in this at this point. And then I want to move back just to finish up the another perspective on the Gemara. So the Gemara here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, just to get back to where we were. The Gemara has this very interesting discussion. The Gemara says that there is a the Mishnah is talking about a case where you have a partnership which is not one which can be broken up without the consent of both parties, because the partnership is of something that is less than 8 amos, and therefore each person will be left with less than dalet amos, which is considered to be, a karka, a zamokom of stature, and therefore you need the agreement of both parties. But if you have the agreement of both parties, then you can disband the partnership. And once you have that, and you have two individual owners, then you'll be obligated to build a wall in order to ensure the privacy of each individual. So the Gemara says, again, we've read this Gemara a few times because it's just very packed with topics. This is the Gemara again on five lines up from before the wide lines begin. The Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mayu Kimta, the Mas Nisan, B'Sheimba Din Chalukah. So we're talking about a case of a Shutfus which is not divisible, meaning it can't be, it's not a Shutfus where you can force division, because you can only do that when each person walks away with a smaller part of the partnership. But if the qualitative integrity of the partnership, of the pieces, are also compromised by the division, because each one's not going to get dalet amos, then you need the consent of both. So the Gemara says, "B'shem din chalukah," and therefore you need consent. Kiratsu mayhava. Even if they agree, why is that enough? Nehadra bahu. Let them be chozer. Meaning, just because they agree doesn't mean that they're legally bound. No one did anything that is irrevocable. So there can be a haskama. There can be an agreement between parties. People should respect their word. They should respect their agreements. But A, it's not legally valid if it isn't legally valid. And B, as I pointed out last time, of course, all things being equal, your word should be your bond. But sometimes circumstances change, and especially in transactions, sometimes, it's perfectly legitimate, and the halacha wants to give you the opportunity to rethink, and in some cases, to retract. You shouldn't do that frivolously, and you certainly shouldn't do it maliciously, call it kol shekein. But there are times when, a person's financial circumstances change, he finds out more information, whatever it is, or it's just understood to be reasonable, in the marketplace, that there's flexibility, before you actually sign the contract or complete the transaction. So the Gemara says, Nehedra Bahu. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shekhanu Miyad. We're talking about a case where it wasn't just an agreement, it was also accompanied by a kinyan chalipin, a kinyan sudar. Says the Gemara, so what? Kinyan, if there's no concrete change in ownership or in legal rights, if nothing is happening, then simply the agreement, that you will, that you intend, that you promise, even if it's accompanied by a kinyan sudar, what does that accomplish? Says the Gemara, Bishakonomiyanabaruchos. We're talking about a situation where more than a promise took place. They actually define the parameters of the division. I'll take the east side, you take the west side, and so on. So again, we've been discussing this for 2 or 3 weeks. A very small Gemara, but a very big theme. So what I was discussing last week that I want to finish up with this week before we move on to the final piece, which is Ravashi, the next line in the Gemara, is when the Gemara thought that there could be a kinyan that makes a promise binding, the Gemara thought that that kinyan would be konamiyado kinyan chalip. And in fact, in numerous Gemaras, Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Keshoel, when a Shomer Chinam decides that he's going to bump up his level of responsibility in a case, or a chassan, who wants to impress his kala or just wants, you know, to give her more security, as the case may be. So he adds, you know, to the required amount of the ksuva, a massive or a small tosefes ksuva, and he does that through a kinyan sudar. Or you have a din Torah, and normally require kosher edim and kosher dayanim, and in this particular case, the parties agree, you know, on people who otherwise would be puzzled. Neman alai Abba, neman alai Avicha, neman alai Gimel Roe Bakar. So once again, the Gemara seems to say that Kinyan Sudar conceal the deal. And numerous other Gemaras as well, which seem to say that the accompaniment of a Kinyan Sudar allows something which looks very much like or is on the border of Kinyan of Devarim into a legitimate Kinyan. And especially, as we explain this according to some Rishonim, like the line between Devarim and changing legal standards, for example, like being Makshu Dayanim, or expanding a ksuva, or shuffling or reconfiguring the parameters of Dinei Shmira, those are legal changes, even though there's no change in legal title. And I believe the Rambam and a group of Rishonim understood all those cases in that way. So the question is, why Kinyan Suda? Why is that the Kinyan, not just of choice, maybe the only Kinyan that can accomplish this? Another way of saying that, especially in light of the Rambam, as we discussed, the Rambam says, you know, people make a big mistake. They make a lot of gratuitous Kinyane Sudar, where either they don't need to or it doesn't help, one or the other, meaning it's not necessary or it's not effective. And he goes on and he discusses it. And you're wondering, like, why is he telling you this? So again, the practical code side of the Rambam, you know, maybe needs to tell you this because, you know, he's enlightening you. But in my opinion, where he puts it and how much emphasis he gives it, both highlight something additional. And that is what the Rambam's telling you is, there's something about Kinyan Sudar that is authentically captured by people's mistake. That doesn't mean that they're not wrong, but it means they're wrong in a way which is, you know, actually sensitive to how Kinyan Sudar works. And what is that way? So last week, I began to discuss this. I pointed out, A, the word Kinyan and Shas, as the Rambam points out, means Sudar. B, Kinyan Sudar applies Bein B'Karka, Bein B'Metaltlin, even though typically, you know, the modes of Kinyan actually, in principle, maybe even differ between Karka and Metaltlin. Three, even though Sudar works both for Karka and both for Metaltlin, not for Kinyan Isha, we'll get that in a minute, but even though it does, it's not on the list of either. And the Rishonim discuss it, and some give fundamental answers, some give more technical answers. So from there, we went on to discuss the very, very important Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia Mem Zayin Amud Aleph points out that in the Pasuk in Rus, Zosef Fanim B'Yisrael, Ala Gula V'Ala Tmura, L'Kayim Kol Davar, Shalaf Yishnalo, V'Nasal Re'eyu, that there's an ambiguity. Who gave the Nal? Who gave the Sudar to who? So Rav said, and this is how we paskin, that the Sudar has to be given by the Kona. In other words, if I want to acquire Shimon's, if I, Ruvain, want to acquire Shimon's field, then I have to use, then the handkerchief should be mine, or somebody acting on my behalf. That's Rav, and that's how we paskin. But Levi says the opposite, that Shimon, the Makne, the person who's parting with his field or his ox or his watch, he also parts with a handkerchief or a pen or whatever it is. So what we were trying to explain last time is both Rav and Levi are peculiar. Rav is peculiar because the Gemara has a very lengthy description of his justification. Instead of just saying, well, if Reuven is going to acquire a watch, then he should be the one symbolically, you know, to be giving up something, you know, in return, even if it's only a symbolic something. So let him give his pen and he'll receive the watch. But instead of saying that, the Gemara has a whole arichas and says, you know, Reuven is very happy for Shimon to acquire his object so that he, Shimon, will be serious and not frivolous about transferring to him title over the field or the watch. And I believe that the Rimigash also is troubled by the lengthy formulation. What I was trying to say in the end was that, and this according to the Rambam that I want to expand on today, that as Reb Chaim understood it, and that is that Kinyan Sudar is not a Kinyan Beguf HaDavar, and it's not a symbolic exchange really either. What it is it's a way of establishing a Kinyan through commitment alone, but legal commitment to change title. But you can't do that because it's always Dvarim, and that's why I'm doing this topic right here. Because I believe Dvarim, what doesn't work and what does work, is the, you know, natural kind of sweet spot, if you will, that, you know, that highlights or acutely highlights what is unique about Kinyan Sudar. So I think what the Gemara is telling us in the lengthy words of Rav are to tell you that it's worthwhile. Reuven wants Shimon to acquire something in a technically legal, typical way so that the boomerang effect will inject an element, a component, a dimension, if you will, of legality, not just verbal commitment, not just promise, not just statement of intent, but this is serious. We're, you know, I'm giving you my pen, that's symbolic. It's not an exchange, but there's a boomerang effect. We're now in the culture, in the ethos, right, of Kinyan. And therefore the level of das, of commitment that I have, also is extricated from just the normal promise and becomes a legal way of transferring title. That's what Rav means. And Levi, who says a bigger Kiddush, Levi says, no, it's the Caleb Shalmakna. So the Gemara originally asked, I'm not repeating it because we read it at the end of the yes, we read it, we gave it, you know, a good amount of time last time. But Levi says, what is this reverse? I mean, Levi says, Caleb Shalmakna. So the Gemara says, what is this reverse agav? Meaning you're giving a pen and you're piggybacking on the pen a field or a watch. There's no such thing. So the Gemara ends up saying, Bahiana. That he accepts my thing, if he accepts my pen, then I'm happy to also send him my watch. So the Rishonim say, what does that mean? If it's really Hanukkah, like what is it? Then you should need an Adam Chashuv, like in Kiddushin. Or the Gemara says, or the Rishonim say, then it should be Kol Shekein Kelev Shel Kona, because really what we're saying about Kelev Shel Makna is that it's a form of Kona, right? Just that it's a Kona of Hana. So what I want to explain is a little bit different, and that is, again, the same idea that we did for Rab, even though we passed like Rab, but we can now appreciate what Levi's saying. What Levi's saying is, you want to establish that the Hakna through Das, the main event, the watch, the field, you know, the cow, that I really want to send to you, but by commitment alone, we want to establish that that isn't just Dvarim. We want to establish that we mean this as a change in title, and they were giving it a Kinyan-esque character. So the way to do that is to have framework already. We're in the mode of being makna. So the first thing you makna is in a conventional way. I take my sudar, a handkerchief, or a pen, or something small, right? And I give it to you, I hand it to you. That's like a normal Kinyan. And then I do that as a prelude to the hakna through das in order to establish that really, 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 you know, this is a Kinyan Das of change of title. It's legal. It isn't just a promise. Okay? So that's what we were. That's what we were doing. So now I just want to follow up with that a little bit more. So it's very interesting that the Gemara in Bava Metzia that we were talking about immediately afterwards says, I just want to read some other part. By the way, not everybody agrees with this. We'll see in a minute the Ravid and so on. But I believe this is certainly the Rambam's view. And I think it's really more than that. Okay. So if you look at the Gemara on page 3, I believe. No, yeah. Yeah, three. That's the end of the. Maybe I didn't put it here. But I thought, one second, is it the Gemara that I was just reading from on Bava Tzia? That's on page three, right? Okay, I didn't put that piece. Anyways, right after that Gemara, the Gemara says that one of the interesting features of Kinyan Sudar is that the kli that you use does not need to be a Shabbat Kinyan. In other words, with most Kinyanim, right, a prerequisite is that there be a Shabbat Pruta. Right, that's considered the Rubicon in Dinei Mamonos. Right? The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Perek Hazav, in Bava Tzia, Chamisha Prutosein. Or Chamesh Prutosein. Right? Ein des Kokin Ledin. If somebody wants to go to take somebody to a Din Torah, they can't take him for less than a Prut. I hope nobody's too disappointed. The requirement of hoda'ah, in motive mixas requires a pruta. There are a whole bunch of things that require a pruta. Kiddushin requires a pruta. We paskin like, we'll get that in a second. We paskin like Beis Hillel, right? Ta'isha Niknes is a machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. Whether or not it's a bedinar, right, which is considerably more, or bepruta. We pass Gibbepruta. So when the Gemara says about Chalipin that you can use a Kli, Pachos, Mipruta, that's Mechudash. And the question is why and what does it mean? Oh. So there are two ways to explain it. One, well, maybe more than two. Well, let's stick with two. The innocuous way to explain it, and even that isn't so innocuous, is on the basis of the very famous Rajba in Masechet Shavuos. When we talk about Motiv Mixas and the need for a Pruta, so the Rajba in Masechet Shavuos says, what about a Kli? Let's say you have an object. Let's say you're arguing about the value, about Kli. Your Motiv Mixas. Somebody says, oh, you owe me $100. The other guy says, no, I don't owe you $50. So let's say, the one says, you owe me this. And he says, no, I only owe you this small trinket. And let's say the trinket is less than a pruta. You can buy two of them in the pruta store. Right? So is that considered enough? I mean, the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia that you need a pruta for this. Ah. So the Rajba has a safek. Rajba says, I'm the stopek if you have a kli, right, whether it can substitute for a shavapruta. And he goes on to say that he's not sure about this in Kiddushin, and he's not sure about it, in this halah. He's suggesting it could be mechalek between the different dinam of pruta. What's the idea? Pruta is certainly a quantitative shear in money. And it's also like a standard, right? The lowest standard. However, it's also, in addition to its quantity and its currency, let's say, status, right? You can also understand that it represents a minimum value. But a kli, right, has a certain value and a certain intrinsic worth, even if it is on the marketplace, is not a pruta, right? It's not worthless. And probably over time, you could use it in a way that'll bring you a pruta. I'm not sure how relevant that is. So basically, if we're talking about, I sometimes use this to distinguish, and I think it's what the Rajba is about, there's a difference between shi or shava pruta as a kamus, as a quantity, and shir shavapruta as the minimum, typically, of erech, or shovi, value. So then the question is, plugging it back into the five prutos in the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, what are those dinim? Are those dinim about the minimum currency? Or are they about giving value? Right? And that would be a similar question to ask when it comes to Kiddushin. Like if you're Mekadosh with a Kli. So it's very fascinating. If you look at the Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin, and the Gimel Amud Aleph, that's, I think, the beginning of the of this these Marmakomos, probably page one, the first entry. Everybody have that? The Gemara says, Minyana de Reisha Lamute Mai, Minyana de Seipa Lamute Mai, Minyana de Reisha Lamute Chopa. The Gemara is talking about Kiddushin. Why is the Mishnah tell you, Isha Niknes Begimel Drachim, and then it says, Kesef Pishtar Babia. So the Gemara says, Minyana de Reisha Lamute Mai, meaning we can all count, we don't need to tell you. Women can get married three ways, one, two, three. And it just said, Isha Niknes. Bekesef b'shtar u'bebiya. So the Gemara says it's l'me'ute, it's to exclude other candidates. So the Gemara says, d'minyan d'reisha l'mute chupa, l'ravuna d'amra chupa kona b'kav v'chomer l'mute mai. He thinks chupa actually is a way to be mekadesh. So what does it exclude? The answer is l'me'ute chalipin, to exclude chalipin. Wow. Why not? What's the issue? So k'day t'chamina. You might have thought, hold the gamar kicha kicha mistei akron. You derive this ksera sakasu, kicha kicha, and the acquisition of steafron for the burial of Sarah, right? And it says also kiyika kishisha, kespa sadakach mimeni, so kicha kicha. This is the famous kicha kicha. Ma sada mekanya the chalipin, a field can be acquired with chalipin. So you would think, afi shonami mekanya bechalipin. That a woman could also be nikneis b'chalipin. Kamash malan. Therefore, we're being told that it isn't true. It doesn't work. I mentioned before, that and last week, that chalipin is practically the universal kinyan. Right? And Dr. Maybrook, I believe, you know, just made the comment, it doesn't work for kiddushin. And he's right. This is this Gemara. The question is why? That's what I said last week. So now I'm up to that. Right? Why doesn't it work for Kiddushin? So the Gemara says, Be'ema hachanami. Like, what's, that's the Gemara's question. Like, why doesn't it work? Says the Gemara, because chalipin istayi b'pachas mishava pruta. V'isha b'pachas mishava pruta, the words lo mekanya should appear. Or according to Rashi, lo mekanya nafsha. Okay? So the Gemara says, quotes the same phenomenon that chalipin is bepakos mipruta in order to demonstrate that what? That it doesn't work in kiddushin because kiddushin requires a pruta. So the question is what? Two problems. Number one, didn't we know this in the Hava Mina? Right? Number two, how do we understand this maskana? What does it mean? So Rashi famously says, has the girsa and explain. Lo makanya nafsha, that's the next piece. Diganayula, Rashi says it's embarrassing to her to be miskadeshes the chalipin, since chalipin is a snaiba. It's like the cheap, you know what, you're being mekadesh me in such a cheap way. Right? Hilkoch batala toras chalipin bekidushin, yafila bekli sheish bashava pruta. Rashi says, even if you give her an expensive kli, for chalipin. Since the kinyan chalipin could be with less than a pruta, it's still insulting. Yoivla b'loshin chalipin, ad yoiv b'toros loshin kinyan, okicho kiddush. Of course, he wants to use the object as kesef, not as chalipin. That's very welcome. But even if he gives an expensive kli for chalipin, toras chalipin is an insult, right? And therefore, it doesn't work for kiddush. Now, it's fascinating because it seems to be a dinda raisa. Right? But that's okay, that's a Kiddushin issue, which I'm not going to get into right now. Very important. Tosus disagrees. Tosus says, oh, wait, before we get to that. So what was the, I don't know, actually, let's get to it. So Tosus says that's not the Pshat and the Gemara. Number one, there's no Girsa Nafsha. Number two, it's not all subjective, and this sounds like a Din D'Rabbanan rather than a Din D'Rabbanan. Pirsh B'Kuntras, Mishim D'Gnayula, Hilkach Batal Taras Chalipa B'Kiddushin, Nafilu Klishesh B'Shamputa Yai B'Taras Chalupin, would work. The Kasha L'Rabbeinu Tam, Dimkein Pashta Yada V'Kibla Tiskadish B'Pachas B'Shamputa, let's say she agrees to the Chalipin, or to the less than the Pruta. Vod, Kivin D'Tali Taima, Mishim Gnay, and Kina Maila Parach B'Gemara D'Banta D'Rabbiana D'Kapta Nafshayu, The daughters of Rabbi Yanai had a very high self-image, very healthy self-image, maybe too healthy. So they, if you didn't give them a Tirkava de Dinra, they weren't going to marry you. Right? So, Kiheche de Parcha Kaman, Abil Sede Beishama. Oh, Kasha, Kibit Soka Dai de Kasha Le Migmar. Kinyani Ishim Kinyani Sadem Kenyishanami Tikna Bechazaka Kimo Sadem, and many other questions. So let's skip to the answer for a moment. Oh. The Kach Nirla Rabbeinu Tam, next line. The Garcina Pakal Bishav Putala Makanya, Velo Garcina Nafsha, the Lobi Kpeda Talia Milsa. It doesn't matter what the Kpeda is, it's not a subjective thing. I don't think, by the way, just for the record, I just don't want to get bogged down. This is not our topic. I don't think Rashi thought it was a subjective thing either. Rashi thought that given that objectively, this is a more economical, potentially, method of Kiddushin. So that tarnishes the method, right? Meaning it should be a respectful method. It has nothing to do with the individual. It has to do with the principle of what kind of transaction kiddushin is. Okay. Anyways, Elahina Taima says Tosas, Rabbeinu Tam, Shindu Gamar Kicha Kicha Mistay Ephron, Siv Kesef, Upakas Mishav Prutala Mikri Kesef, less than a prut is not Kesef, says Tosas. Bamaksha Shihiksha Tchila Emachanami Vishtar Bechazakalo Hiksha, the Pshitagalogamin and Kichalasos Isha Tukalan Yane Sada. No one thought that whatever works for Karka works for Isha. No one asked about Chazaka. Right? But they thought, so why did they think, why did they ask about Chalipin? They asked from Chalipin because Chalipin is very similar to Kesef. Very hard to distinguish them. Right? Normally it is a pruta. This is the pshat in the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara only thought that if there's a shava pruta, then you could be mekadesh b'chalipin because you could turn it and you can convert it. You could perceive it as a kinyan kesef. Unlike being Mekadish with a star, let's say, which is a Shava Pruta, Dein Sarok Shiyishva a star Pruta. Can be the Begitin, Kasalit Sarna Kasher, Al Chalipin the Shava Pruta, Dome in the Kesef. That was a Havamim. Only if there's a Pruta would it work. Umishani, the answer, according to this, is what's important now. Tos says the answer, the Gemara is, it's not true. It's not true that Chalipin is a form of Kesef. Chalipin is nayu bepakus mishava pruta. Yimkein ena mitam kesef. Elikin in acherhu. It may look a lot like kesef, but actually, it's a fundamentally different kinyan. Fundamentally different kinyan. So, the way Tosis understands the maskana is that chalipin is different. Now, I should add that the Ran, if you look at the next piece, I put it down here. Okay. The Ran disagrees with Tosis on an important point. The Ran says the Havamina of the Gemara was that you could be Makadish and Isha with Chalipin, with a Kli less than a Pruta. How could that be? The answer is because the Gemara, and this is the Ran, doesn't quote the Rajba, but clearly he has this Rajba in mind. The Ran says, The Gemara thought that if you have a kli that's the equivalent of a pruta, even if it's on the marketplace, its value is less because it's still something that has intrinsic value. It's functional, right? It's not nothing. Look at the round. Alpha gav da hashanami svirolei the chalip in the snai were pukas bishav a pruta. Right? They knew that in the beginning also, that it has less than a pruta. It would work. Afilu haki efshar kiven de beinan behu kli. Since it has to be a kli, something, you know, that has integrity, going back to sugyan shavu, is what it makes us. Yaltu kelim mamashim. Kivin shkeni kalemeimar demitoris kasav konim. Like Tosas, the Ran says, the Havamina of the Gemara was that this is a form of Kinyan Kesef. How could it be a form of Kinyan Kesef less than a Pruta? So Tosas says, the Havamina was, you're going to be Mekadesh with more than a Pruta. And the Ran says, no. The Havamina was, you could be Mekadesh, the Chalipin, even less than a Pruta. Because a Kli is always a Dabar Chashim, it's the equivalent of a Pruta. Ubechal ki yikach ninu. And that's why Uma Hadrinan, di efshar dekinin chalipin isnai isa bechlal kiikach. He can't say that it's kesef and it's included in kiikach. Dan ansadi di isha bepaklim shav pruta filu bekli shalem lo mekanya nafsha. He goes to the gears of Rashi. Yukach vaday kishomer kasev kiikach ein kinin chalipin bechlalo. Shil keno yaf paklis mi pruta bechlal di efshar umiata bedamim di brakasev lo bechalip. So what is the problem with chalipin in the end? I mean, is it just this technical problem that it's isa b'pakos b'pruta and lo mikne nafsha? So I think, in light of everything that we've discussed, right, there's another dimension to all of this. And that is, but one of the things that emerged from this discussion, clearly, I think, is that there are two very different ways to look at chalipin. One way is to see it as kind of an adjunct to kesef, right? That's what Tosa is saying. In a way, that's what the Ran was saying, and so on. It's even less than a pruta, only when you give a pruta, according to Tosa. Or even so, because it's a kli, according to the Ran. Fine. But there's another way to look at the Gemara, and that is the way I think the Rambam might have read the Gemara, which is the reason that chalipin zisnai with pakas mipruta is because it's not like kinyan kesef at all. In fact, it's not a maisa kinyan begufa davar at all. It's a kinyan das. Meaning, the focus is not on the exchange, even symbolically. You say, he gave me a pruta, but the thing's worth $1 million. So, but it's a symbolic exchange. That's not what's happening in chalipin. Chalipin, the exchange part, is just to establish the frameworks that determine that we're not dealing with devarim, right? Like our sugi here in Gimel and Aleph, but we're dealing with kinyan, das l'kinyan. But it's the das, not the exchange, that is the davar akona. It's the das makna or das amiskayev of the makna. So what we're saying is we don't care if it's a pruta or not, as long as it's something that's nitan makinyan. Because there's no exchange, even though we pass in Caleb Shokona. Levi didn't think it was Caleb Shokona, he thought it was Caleb Shomakna. Right? So you're not even exchanging at all. You're creating a pipeline. Right? A framework. So maybe that's also why it doesn't work in Kiddusha. Why? Maybe what Kiddushin requires is that there be a Maisa Kinyan, not just a Kinyan of Das. And the Gemara is trying to highlight that. The Gemara says, Chalipin is Naiba Papas Mishava Pruta. What does that show you? That this is an altogether different type of Kinyan. This is a Kinyan Das. It's a Kinyan Das. That's not, Anisha is not nicknamed, but Kinyan Das. It requires a concrete kinyan, maisa kinyan. Certain things require maisa kinyan. So that's what I think is going on, you know, in this Gemara. But this issue, this debate, this question, whether kinyan suit or something altogether different, it's about the commitment, the hischaivus, you know, the dvarim practically, dvarim plus, which is a kinyan, as opposed to, or the other way of seeing it, is kind of a symbolic exchange along the lines of kaseth. So interestingly enough, this gets very interesting play in the Rambam and the Ravid. So look at the Rambam in Perek, in Hichos Avadim. Do I have that somewhere? Perekei Hichos Avadim, Halacha Daled? For sure I have it somewhere. Yep. Is it page 5? Hichos Avadim Perekei Halacha Gimel. I think it should be Daled. Did I pick the wrong one? No, it's the right one. Anybody have that?
It's line 16.
On page 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the Rambam in Hichos Avadim says that, talks about whether, you know, you can be, what modes of kinyan can be used to be kohen an eved, or and to release an eved. Ketzad b'shtar kosval nior lecheres. Hare ben chorin, hare at shalatzmech, in li'esek b'ach, hen kol kiyotze b'zeh b'inyan zeh, zeh gufa shul get shechor, mosa shtar b'fnei shnayim, o edim b'chassumim bo, masur ben ol v'natzmo, or izah yotze lecheres, or gitav yada b'in kiach. Omar lo shalo b'ksav hare at ben chorin, hare at shalatzmech. Let's say he just verbalizes and he tells the guy, you're a free man, you're on your own. But he doesn't write that in a shtar. Even if there were witnesses, and then he adds, and even if there was a kinyan sudar, it wouldn't work. In other words, kinyan sudar doesn't work for eved, shechur eved, either. She'eno eved yotze lecheirus ala b'kesef, o b'shtar, o b'rosh eivarim, ha'kosev l'shivchaso, re'et mutaris l'chalonim l'amar klum. Fine. Says the Ravid, Omer Avram dover ze'eno mechubar, on the kinyan sudar part of it, namely, it doesn't work to be b'shachar and eved, he said, I don't think it's correct. Why is it wrong? She'ha'kinyan, ha're'u k'kesef, where he gets it from the Sugya Nashaleach, not for now. What is the Ravid saying? There's Shechur Eved Ayidei Kesef. And Chalipin is a form of Kesef. So Chalipin will work for Shechur Eved. But the Rambam thinks it doesn't. Obviously, doesn't think it's a form of Kinyan Kesef, right? So look even more at the earlier halacha, and that is Perek Chaf Tes, Luchos Mechira, the one previous to it. One second. I just want to make sure that I have the beginning of it. My pages are all stuck together, but okay. Perek Chaf Tes, Halacha Kas and Tes, is that also page 5?
Yeah,
page 5
at the beginning.
Yeah. So the Rambam in Perek Chav Tes, Hilchos Mechira, he's talking about a katan. Here he talks about the ability of a katan, right, to be involved in transactions. So he says, Bodkin is a katan, right, you check the katan, you investigate. Right? To see whether he understands his, you know, the level of maturity, you know, to be involved in matters of business. Sometimes you can, you know, have a precocious 7-year-old who understands things. Eniodebativ masomat. And then you can have somebody who's a child who's 13 and he doesn't have a clue, right? There's always a range. Katan eniodebativ masomatan, she'im apotropos, she'nosa v'nosa v'vitalplin, v'tod, you know, kidin gadol, pokos mishtos mechila. We treat him in certain things like a gadol. The level of overcharging, which is based on shtus, a sixth, less than shtus is mechila, shtus maxer auna, right? The exact sixth, you know, yesral shtus batal mekach, kamosha biarna. Okay. Vani omer shein mekach katan umem karu bimetal kolo kayamim. This is my opinion, says the Rambam. The acquisition of a katan and the sales of a katan of a talkalin only work elevisha mashach ohimshich avalinus and mos alamekach bechazar bo ina makabal mishapara aferim shechazar bo makabal mishapara. Okay, he doesn't have the, if he gives money, right, he doesn't, he's not makabal a mishapara, etc. Okay, good. Then comes the next halacha. B'cheinim kanu miyana katan. What about kinyan sudar? So the Rambam says, if the katan, right, sells something with by means of kinyan sudar, ohisker mokom amitalplin, we'll say it wasn't sale, but it was he rented the premises, the chazarbo, right, and then he decided to change his mind. Lo kana halokeach. Then the lokeach does not acquire it, meaning the kinyan is not binding. Why? She'ein motzin miyad. This is a very interesting line in the Rambam. She'ein motzin miyad midei kakatan bedin. Right? You can't. You know, it's not a legal or a valid transaction. The ein kinyan miyad katan klum kinyan sudar. You know, to acquire something from a katan is meaningless. Shakinyan, the gifts that we have here is bishtar. Kinyan is accomplished by means of a shtar. And the shtar, right, is something which is effective only when it's written, the mischayim is a gadol. If Adam signed on the shtar of an Adam Katan, that is meaningless. Very strange halacha. There are actually two points in this Rambam that require clarification. Number one is, before we get anywhere else, just the raw facts. I mean, the Rambam says here that, just like he said about Shichur Eved Kanani, that Kinyan Sudar is ineffective in Haknas Katan. That's point number one. Responding to that, the Ravid says, going back to the Ravid. The Ravid in Halacha Ches, which is why I have it. Omer Romani Omer Shakaton Eino Mechila. Number one, when he was talking about overcharging, the Rambam said that the regular dinim of overcharge apply to a katan. If it's less than a sixth, then it's Mechila. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? Ketanim ainam b'nei mechila nenu. Ketanim can't be mochel. Okay. Kedarmin and yasmi la b'nei mechila nenu. So this is where many Rishonim, many Mefarshim explained that what the Rambam meant was that, this is not for now, but just agab, that the idea that if you overcharge less than a sixth, that that's mechila, doesn't really mean mechila. It doesn't mean a formal mechila. It means that that's considered the price range. In other words, if the price, you know, before inflation is $10, okay, and I charge you $11, you know, if the proper price is $10, so let's say I charge you $11, you know, or let's say I charge you $13, you know, so if it's more than a sixth, that is a mistake. If it's less than a sixth, is it? It's mechila. It's a mistake, but there's implicit mechila. Or what we mean by implicit mechila is everybody understands there's a proper price, but there's also a range. Okay. Anyway, that's what the Rambam probably holds. If we don't need the katan to be mochel, the din of mechila applies to transactions of a katan because it's a din of the range. Okay. Then he adds, this is the important part. V'chein ani omer shem hiknu b'kinyan kanu. And also, says the Raavad, if a katan, right, released something, sold something, gave away something, b'kinyan, then it works against the Rambam. Shakinyan, listen to the language. Lo gara mea kasef. Kinyan is not less than kasef. U kasef atzmo. In some respect, it is kasef. Mea hu maisa de gittin, da hu shadu lemara kumsa. Same gemara that he quotes in Nevasavadim. Yomar knihu, kninav sheikh. Benimsa kasef gomer. The adif mishar kasef. The kona lagamri. V'cheinim konahu b'kinyan kono. Shamakna maknalo kol kinyano b'ena chozerbo. Aval in hischir hu mokom peiro so kono d'schiris k'mecharuser. And without going into detail, the big point, the bigger point of the Rambam, of the Raavad, is that kinyan should be treated as kasef, like kasef, which is exactly what he said in Hilchos Avadim. But the Rambam disagrees. In Avadim and here, because the Rambam doesn't think that Chalib bin is like Kasef. But it's more than that. The Rambam, when he was explaining why is Chalib bin not effective in a katan, says because the Kinyan usually includes a shtar contract. I'll explain that in a minute. And a contract requires a gadol. Okay. What is that line of reasoning? So the reference is to a Gemara, which we're going to look at in one more minute. Oh, we're going to look at it now. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, that Mem Omud Aleph. This is on page 3. And it's also in our Gemara, if you want to look in the Gemara. So Mem Omud Aleph. Very important Gemara. Everybody with me? So Mem Omud Aleph, or page 3, Moda b'fnei shnayim v'ein tzarech lomar ksov. Hoda b'fnei shnayim v'tzarech lomar ksov. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, what is kinyan? Kinyan sudar, kalipin, right? V'eino tzarech lomar ksov. V'kim shtaros b'shlosha. The Gemara here is discussing which transactions automatically get turned, if you want to, into a contract. Now, let's say I buy your watch, right, with money. Or I buy it with mshicha, right? And witnesses see it. Can they just write a contract? Or do they have to get my explicit approval? That's a very interesting question, right? Remember that, let's say it this way. On the one hand, you could say, well, you know, what are you afraid of? I mean, it was an honest transaction. Why shouldn't there be a contract? What do you need my express approval for? The answer is, number one, maybe I don't want everybody, to know about this. And when you write contracts, what people are involved, et cetera. Maybe I want to keep it quiet for whatever, maybe for tznius reasons or business reasons, whatever. Or whatever, maybe I'm just an akshan, I don't like people write contracts. But there are also two other reasons. Contract may have implications for shibudim, meaning if I can't pay, right, then it's possible that you can seize my property. That's sometimes the difference between an alpeh and a shtar transaction. But also there's something called shtarcha biyadi maibor. Probably talk more about it next year. Shtarcha biyadi maibor means that if I lend you money, I'll lend you $100, and then you want to deny it, or I claim I lend you $100, and you say, not true. Right? So that's called kofar akal. If you say I didn't, not true. But let's say I can pull out a contract. Let's say I have a contract and I say, I lent you $100. And you say, paraiti, I paid it back. So if it's balpeh, that's kofar akal. Right? You're claiming I owe you $100 and I'm saying I don't owe you a penny. I borrowed it, but I paid it back. But if there's a contract and the Malva is still holding the contract, so then he says, Shtar Chabiyari my boy. If you paid it back, how come I'm still holding on to the contract? Either you should have a shovar, a receipt, showing that you paid, or you should have insisted that I rip up the contract to avoid exactly what is now happening. Namely, that I'm claiming that you still owe me, and I'm arguing that you wouldn't have left an intact contract, you know, that didn't indicate the piron otherwise. So what am I trying to say very quickly, hopefully quickly, is that there are good reasons, there are many good reasons why if you and I make a deal, right, a transaction or whatever, or come to an agreement, there could be very good reasons why I don't want it turned into a contract, converted into a contract. But what the Gemara says is, even though when it comes to kesef and meshicha and hagbah, right? If you want a contract, you better get the agreement of the mishai. But when it comes to kinyan, when it comes to kinyan sudar, that converts automatically into a contract. If I buy your watch or I buy your field, right? With a kinyan sudar, the Adam can write up a contract. They don't need to consult with the mischayev, with the makne. Wow. That's a pretty interesting halacha, right? So let's move away for a second. We're going to come right back to it. Just time to go back to the Rambam for a minute. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, listen, since there's a unique feature in Kinyan Sudar, and that is that unlike most Kinyanim, it automatically converts into a shtar, and the rule when it comes to shtaros, right, is right that a shtar can only be written for the transaction of a gadol, not of a katan. Therefore, a kinyan, there can't be a kinyan for a katan, because kinyan, which turns into shtar, and shtar is not applicable for a katan. Therefore, there's no kinyan for katan. That's the Rambam's argument. That's what these words mean. That's what these words mean. A kinyan bishtar, meaning kinyan bifnei shnayim, the ein tzarch lomar ksovu, the ein ha'edim chosmim ella al shtar shalom gadol. And a shtar requires a gadol. Okay. What ma inyan, you know, shtar, it's a kinyan here. I mean, good, we're not denying that a kinyan turns, cannot, one of the unique features of a kinyan is that it can turn into a contract. That means that if you can't apply the standards of the contract, you can't have the kinyan? It's an extra. So you wouldn't have the extra here. I believe the Kesef Mishnah asks this question. Kesef Mishnah says, listen, I don't get it. A kinyan can convert into a shtar. It doesn't have to, but you don't need to ask the mischayev, and it can happen. Let's say you didn't write a shtar, so you didn't write a shtar. And let's say it's a katan, so you won't have a shtar. The ability to convert to a shtar is a exotic nicety, one would think. You're not going to say, oh, if you can't get the exotic, if the exotic nicety is not going to work here, then the core, you know, transaction isn't going to work either. So you won't have the extra, you know, perk. Everybody with me? Other question? Okay. So in order to understand the Rambam, we need to understand better why there is this perk. How come when it comes to Meshicha and Hagba'ah and Kesef, right? It doesn't convert into a contract unless you get explicit permission. And yet when it comes to Suda, we say, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim, Ein Tzarich Lomar Ksav, or as the Gemara puts it in other places, Stam Kinyan, L'Ksiva Omeid. Why is that true? Ah. By the way, before I mention that, I wrote here on the side of the sheet, I wrote, Girsas HaShulchan Aruch, Keh. Okay. If you look this up in the Shulchan Aruch, this halacha, when the Rambam records, when the Shulchan Aruch, when Rabbi Yosef Karo quotes this Rambam in his Shulchan Aruch, he changed the girsa. Even I don't think that, I'm pretty sure there are not, there's no ksav yad that says this. But Rabbi Yosef Karo changed it, he said like this. He says, Ein kinyan mina kotlin klum, sha'at kinyan ke shtar, with a chaf, he didn't say be, he said ke. What's the difference? What he was saying is, just like a shtar requires a gadol, so too a kinyan suda requires a gadol. Of course, how does he know that? But at least you don't run into the question, which I think he himself asked, I think it's Kesa Mishnah, in his parish on the Rama, which is, so you don't have the exotic benefit of a shtar in this case. Why does that torpedo the cordin? He said, no, that's, we don't mean that the perk is going to undermine, you know, the basic. What we mean is that there is an equation between these two things. Of course, why would you think that there's an occasion, that there's an equation between the two? The answer is because kinyan bifnei shtayim, the ein tzar klamak, the very fact that a kinyan can turn into a shtar may show you that the criteria, that the quality and that the criteria and that the standards are similar. How so? So, and then once you say that, then maybe we can also understand Rambam even with this girsa. And that is as follows. Again, this is more of a Gittin topic or a Ksuvis topic, but very quickly, something we've talked about in the past. The instrument of a shtar is also very challenging. The problem with the shtar is that the Torah says, "Mi pi shnayim edim, al pi shnayim edim." Sorry, yakum davar. And we have a drasha that says, "Mi pm velo mi piksav," meaning you have to hear the witnesses directly. You can't, you know, they can't send in, so it would appear, a deposition. Rashi says in his Perush Al HaTorah in Parsha Shoftim that if the witnesses send a deposition into court, it doesn't work. Ksav Edus doesn't work. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He interprets the Gemara differently. That's not for now. Maybe next year. But taking the problem is, why isn't every shtar that is kosher mipim below my piksavo? Right? So this is a question Bali Tosis asked earlier, the Bala Mor asked it. So the Bala Mor has a famous line in which he says, it's mi piem velo mi piksavam. But it doesn't say mi piv velo mi piksavo. What does that mean? So it's basically what the Bali Tosis said also, which is, Edim cannot turn their Edus into the deposition. That's a violation of Mipik Sava. But a shtar isn't the edus of Edim. It's commissioned by the Miskayev. This Dasa Miskayev, the person who loses, the person who's, you know, is hurt by the existence of the shtar, person, therefore, needs to obligate himself to the shtar, right? He can create the shtar. Dasa Mischayev is a kind of a way that if it's Dasa Mischayev, it's not Mipik Saba. Everybody with me? So this is something that Reb Chaim explained, not necessarily in this Rambam, but in general, and that is, there is an overlap between what makes a shtar and what is singular about Kinyan Sudar. And that overlap exactly is Dasa Mischayev. It's the commitment that is freely entered into intensively by the person who is transferring his title or is giving up something. The Mischayev can create a shtar and the Mischayev can create through his das a kinyan almost in the same way. And that's why, like, you have to wonder, how come kinyan is bifnei shnayim ve'ein tzarich lomar ksavu? Of all kinyanim, why it gets to convert into a shtar? The answer is because the intense level of das, of commitment, that makes kinyan sudar singular to begin with, that is the standard necessary to engender a shtar that it's not mipi ksavam. So, in a way, actually, it's very interesting. If you look at Tosas here, look at Tosas in either in the Gemara or on the page. Look at Tosas tries to explain what's unique about Kinyan Sudar that we say Stam Kinyan Leksiva Omeid. This is still on page 3. Rajbama Sakhan Balbasar Dafmen. Yeah. Where we were before, just I'm continuing.
Yeah, Rush.
Well, it must be on page 3. The Stam Kinyan L'Ksiva Omeid, Mishum De'ein La'achar Kinyan Klum.
Line 18.
What do you mean, Ein La'achar Kinyan Klum? Meaning, Kinyan Sudar is the final word. It works. It's the commitment alone does it. The Kivin de Makne B'Sudar B'Fneidim, U'Mimar La'Knoso Miyad. What is the Rajbam emphasizing? There's a certain love, energy, you know, a certain intensity, you know, to this Kinyan. Unlike Maisa Kinyanim, right, they're held up until you do this symbolic act. Here it's, oh, you agree? You know? Because remember, the barter part is just to create, in my opinion, to create the framework. The das, right, the thing is, you didn't do anything in the Gufa Davar at all with the Kinyan Sudar. And you're being maknet. Hu yelech v'yachzik b'karkos. Here it's miskabim l'knosa ba'ayin yafta. Here the Rajbam doesn't say what I said about the shtar part. He's saying there's more energy, there's more positivity, there's more enthusiasm. He wants this to be done in the best possible way. It's a generous kinyan. It's an immediate kinyan. Therefore, it's a kinyan that converts into a shtar. U'mistam erotz ha'shiach tevu k'rabin v'ksuvas. You don't have to ask him. Kishiyirtsu lichto bishtar. Shema chazar. The stam ksiva kam kinyan l'ksiva. You don't have to worry. Maybe he retracted. The assumption is, havel okonomine. Ikelamand amar hasam tzarchlim luchebe afagav. Right. The tzivam behedja lichto. Tosus goes further. Look at the Tosus, is already on page 4. Look at the second one first. The Ein Tzarich Lomar Ksavu, the Kosvin below Reshuso. You can convert a Kinyan Sudar into a Shtar without permission. Kosman Shalachazarbo, as long as he doesn't tell you not to. However, says Tosus, Miu Yachal Aksarbo. Let's say he does a Kinyan Sudar, and before you turn it into a shtar, he says, I don't want a contract. Can he refuse it? You don't need his consent. And if you do it, it's done. But can he refuse? Tosa says, yes, he can refuse. He can retract the shtar, he just can't retract the Kinyan. Okay. However, the Ramban in Bava Basra, Ayin Zayin, in a Kiddushin, Daf Chav Zayin, quotes a Deya that says, that disagrees with this Tosis, and that says that once you make a Kinyan Sudar, even if you tell him, I don't want there to be a Shtar, there's nothing you can do to stop it. So it's not just an Umdana, like Rajbam said, oh, he's so energetic, he's so positive, you know, it's, he's making this kinyan ba'ayin yafa, that includes a contract. No, it's more than that. It's the Das that already exists by virtue of the Kinyan Sudar is already there for the Shtar. Just like you can't retract it on the Kinyan, you can't retract it on the Shtar. It's the level, not the application. Now, you don't have to say that. That's even more Mechudash. But if you say that, then what does that show? That the level of Das Nechayev and Kinyan Sudar is off the charts. So again, even if you don't go that far, getting back to the Rambam. So now let's see, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam said a Katan's Kinyan is no good. Why? Because there's no Shtar for a Katan. So the way the Kesef Mishnah, the way the Rabbi Yosef Karo writes it in Shulchan Aruch is the Kinyan harehu kishtar ke, the ein shtar lebat. Why is Kinyan kishtar? Oh, the answer is because we see that it's kishtar, and if we understand the mechanism, it's very much like shtar. But that's not the language of the Rambam. Rambam says harei a Kinyan bishtar bein chos min al shtar shalom gadol. So I think it's a Kesef Mishnah himself who says, like, what does that mean? You can't have the perk, so you won't have the core? But the Rama meant exactly the same thing as he changed the Girsa to. What he meant was the very fact that Kinyan converts into a Shtar is because of what? Because of the much more intense level of Das HaMischayev and the role that it plays in the Kinyan. That's the reason why it automatically creates a shtar. They say, oh, my level of commitment is such that that includes the other person having evidence and I can't lie, or that there'll be shibudim, or that he'll feel like, he has proof, whatever. That's part of the intense commitment. So what the Rambam is saying is, for the same reason that it converts into shtar, that's the same reason that it can't apply to a katan. A shtar can't apply to a katan. Kinyan Sudar can't apply to a katan. Kinyan Sudar that converts into a shtar can't apply to a katan. A katan cannot muster that level of Das HaMischayev. So if that's the case, so then let's talk about Eidei Kiyum for a minute.
Rabbi Rosenzweig?
Yes.
Can I just ask the question, please?
Of course.
Maybe this is a little far-fetched, but if you hold, especially like the Ramban, that you could write a shtar automatically with a Kinyan Chalipin because you see that the Das is there and the Edom have a right to write it without any permission. So if a man, if Edom see a man being Kone a woman with Chalipin, even though the Chalipin is not a good Kinyan, but you're making a shtar that is a good Kinyan. He said, if they write in the shtar, they heard.
No. That's a shtar raya.
Right. Why can't
you? No. The Isha's nicknames because of Ishtar Ubibia is a Ishtar Kinyan.
So they can't automatically write the Ishtar Kinyan. They can't.
No. What we're talking about writing here, we're talking about Ishtar Raya, meaning the Kinyan isn't with the Ishtar. The Kinyan is with the Sudar. Ishtar Chabiyad, my boy, or Shibudim, or those kind of things, are that's all with the Ishtar Raya. Or it might be considered Ishtar Kinyan Lagabe, the shibudim, but not on the gabe of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a shtar kinyan, it may also produce those. It could serve as a shtar raya too. But when we talk about kinyan bifnei shtar, the kinyan is done with the sudar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me clarify. And then what about the edusim nefu edusim bebeisin? What? How does that principle come in?
No, again, we'll discuss another time, but because there is, it's based on, because there is, the Das HaMischayev is a kind of what we call, the way I call it, a blank check of Eidus. And the Din of Reish Lakish, Eidim HaFasum HaShtar Naskim Yishnachor Yisum HaBezdin, is kind of the way that blank check works, namely, because it isn't just the signatures on the page, it's not really the Edim, it's the Edim confirming what the Mischayev, has allowed them to confirm. So they end up in this kind of blank check of Edus saying much more than they say. They say it's not Mezuyev, and they say it's not Perua, and they say, you know, until you find out otherwise, that the Edim are Gedolin, etc. But that's something we'll discuss. We'll discuss Shtaros more maybe next year. But yeah, that's the mechanism that works. By the way, just to correct one thing, I was quoting the Ramban about, you know, the Edim being able to convert to a Shtar even against the, you know, Chazara of the. But I didn't mean to say the Ramban holds that way, but the Ramban quotes Deos that say that. Yesh Farsha. He himself doesn't seem to, at least in Bal Basra, certainly doesn't conclude that way. I think in Kedushin, it's not clear. He might have changed his mind. Okay, so having said that, there's another Tosis in Andaf Mem, the one before on the page and in the Gemara. Everybody have it? Dibra Maso Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim? Yeah?
Yeah, line 5.
Okay, so Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim Ein Sar. The language of the Gemara is Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim. You make a Kinyan Seder in the presence of two Edim. The Ein Sar Klomak Sovu, and you don't have to tell them, you don't have to give them an explicit instruction. Automatically, they have the right to write a Shtar. Unlike Meshicha and Kasef and Chazaka, where he has to tell them to write a Shtar if they're going to write a Shtar. Right? Good. Says the Balitosis, it sounds in this Gemara like there's an imperative to have Edim at the Kinyan. Because it says, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim. So we've been focusing on the Ein Tzar Klamak Sovu, right? Stam Kinyan Lixiva Ome. Forget about that for a moment. What about this language, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim? Does it mean if there was a Kinyan Seder in the presence of two? Or does it mean Kinyan, which needs to be in the presence of two? Is there a requirement of Edim for Kinyan? We know of the concept of Edikium, namely that you need the presence of witnesses for certain transactions, for Gittin, for Kiddushin, especially for Kiddushin. But is there such a requirement ever in Dine Mamanis? Is there such a requirement in Kinyan Sudar? So Tosa says, this Tosa appears in a bunch of places in Chas. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the lo asila mute shalei chashuv kinyan, kishanasa shalom b'fnei shnayim. The Gemara didn't mean to imply that you need to have the presence of two witnesses. Darmina b'kiddushin lo yibrusadi ala shakri. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, when it comes to dine mamanis, that the purpose of Edim is just to verify, not to what I call, you know, solemnize, right? The Gemara in Bamitzia, Haya Omed Begorin. The Gemara tells us, you know, Mina Mabendik and Bechalipendik, Nidun the Hele Agav Sudar, Mefarikalay Sudar, Dulikninu, the Vlikninu Agav Karka. The Gemara says, Omed Begorin, Ktani. The Gemara is talking about a certain case where it implies that they made a Kinyan Sudar and there was no one around. So obviously, you don't need two witnesses. El Shmamino, Ein Mabendik, the Chalipin, Elo Chashu, Kinyan Below Edim, Lushnina and the Lake Edim. The Sanhedrin, Amarabon Pshar Biachid, Afak of the Pshar Baikin. A Pshar requires a Kinyan, like Kibble Lai, by the way. Yet the Gemara says that Pshar doesn't require two. Says Tosis, even though the Gemara sounds that way, don't get misled. You don't need any Kiyum for Sudar. Okay. I mean, it's an interesting Havam, you know, would I have bothered, you know, would I have taken 5 minutes of your precious time? You know, just for the Havamina, that's not true. Maybe. But, of course, there is a Shita that thinks it's true. So look in the next piece. Shita Mekubetzes Bal Basra, Mem Omen Aleph. This is on page 4, right? Look at the Ravid. Is that Lashon Ravid?
Yeah, line 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Amar Avram, l'chara ha-darminan lehu, b'fnei shnayim, lav mi pachad kfirahu. The Ravid says, don't think it's because of, we're worried that you're going to, you know, you need verification because somebody's going to lie. Ela she'ein miskayim ha-maisa, ela b'shnayim. In order for it to be a legal transaction. You need the presence of two. Again, what I call solemnizing presence. Gafilu modelo, even if both parties agree that it took place. She'im bipachad kfirahu, gam komaisa shiasa adamim chaveru, batonos mechiros mechilos, chilufei chefetz bechefetz, halvos, kulam trichoshnaim. If the problem was we're worried that people are going to lie and we need verification, that would be true for any transaction. Yesh mehem trichos ksiva, yesh einam trichos, umehem nuaseilu. Avalir kishara dvarim miskaimim baudashnein. Difference is that every other kinyan and mamanas, you know, you don't need shnayim, you know, to validate the kinyan, only to prove that it happened, only as a proof. The elu ein miskaimim el be'edim. But that's not true about kinyan sudar. Ulefika chutzrach lomar kim shtaro, somewhere she miskaim el be'gimel, me'ata kinyan ein miskaim el be'edim. V'chein kasav ga'on. Wow, an unbelievable shita. Elisha, Rabbi Yitzchak, Cholek B'davar. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Vani Mosef al Divrei Gaon, ki al Tfisas Asudar Bavad Nemar Bnei She'im Bo Shum Masumatan, Ishelo Be'edim Mechse Kechucho Tlula." Avol Kinyan Ha'omer B'Mikra Shalaf Yishnala B'Nosan L'Reyu Ein Tzarich La'Edus Olamashi Yodala. He seems to be distinguishing between, you know, kind of a more casual Kinyan Sudar where it's clear that the object is not about barter or exchange and so on and so forth, whether you need the Edim kind of just to, you know, establish, you know, that that's what this is in other cases. But he quotes a shita that you need, that a Kinyan Seder needs Edim Kiyum. It would be the only Dine Mamanis, only civil law case, transaction, that requires the presence of witnesses. Wow. But Reb Chaim already in his Chibur, not coincidence, Reb Chaim Lashitaso, in Ilas Yibum, makes a connection between the requirement of Edei Kiyum in matters of Ishus and the higher threshold of Das, of commitment, that is also required in Ishus. And to get married is not a simple transaction, it's not a regular transaction. It's a, you know, monumental decision and commitment, as we know. And, you know, even though it has many of the, you know, accoutrements of a regular kinyan, right, it's also singular in the type of commitment that it is. So Reb Chaim already points out that the level of das required for ishus is connected with the requirement of Edei Kiyum. So is it surprising that the one kinyan in Kosher Mishpat that according to some Rishonim require Edei Kiyum is kinyan sudar, which is based on Dasa Mischayev, which can convert to a shtar, which doesn't apply to a katan, and so on? And by the way, in the Ravin himself, there's reference to this. It seems like he doesn't agree with it. Remember, the Ravin himself was saying, the Ravid has two extremes, you know. On the one hand, he's saying it's like Kesef. So look at the Rambam and the Ravid in Perakei Halacha Tes of Hilchos Mechira. Anybody have that? Where is that? Perakei Halacha Tes. And then we'll, I guess, finish up. But this will finish up, and then I want to speak for 5 more minutes about this, and then I want to talk about the Shutfus and Chazaka part next week, and then we'll move on to the next staff, talk about Beis HaKnesses and things like that. Exciting things. Other exciting things. Perakei Halacha Tes, do we have it somewhere? Or it might have been in the previous Mar Bekomos. I think it was. This is the Rambam. Zeh Kinyan, Kinyan Sudar, now you can really understand why he's saying it. He doesn't say Zeh Kinyan Meshicha Ein Tzarich Lios Bifneidim, Hagba Ein Tzarich Lios Bifneidim, right? Kesef Ein Tzarich Lios Bifneidim. All of a sudden, when it comes to Kinyan Sudar, Zeh Kinyan Ein Tzarich Lios Bifneidim. Why? The answer is because Lashonos in the Gemara, you know, seem to imply that it would, that it does. And Bali Tosis and everybody were, you know, were denying it. Ella imaya ben olavena ben chabera kanda. Shelo etzricha Torah eidim b'dini mamnas al lekofer. Rambam says, when it comes to dini mamnas, even in something which is a kinyan das, like Sudar, which is why you might think that there'd be Eidei Kiyum, but you only need Eidim for verifying in Dinei Mamnes. Aval Mochar, Nosen, Soker, Mashil, if you're selling or you're giving or you're renting or you're lending, Kiyotza Behem Ein Tzarech Eidim. Bekimit Shehikna Kone, Bederach Echa Min Adrachim, Shekonim Behem, Bein Agba, Bein Meshicha, Bein Mesir, Bein Kinim, Bein Kesef, Bein Shtar, Bechazak, Kone. Here he's saying everything, they're all the same. But what I wanted to bring to your attention is Omer Avram, the Raibid, Eina kol modim bekinyan. Because that's what he wrote in the Shita Mekubetzes, and that's what he wrote in Bava Basra, which is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes. He didn't write in the Shita Mekubetzes. And that is that there's a view in the Gaonim that thinks that the only Dinei Mamonis Kinyan that actually does require Eidei Kiyum is this. Okay, we'll stop here. You can see why Kinyan Sudar is the Kinyan that will work when you're not talking about just title, but you're talking about, you know, changing legal thresholds or standards. It's a Kinyan that works through, at least according to Rambam. So I want to speak 5 more minutes about this, a couple more issues next time. And then I want to talk about Rav Ashi, who says that the Kinyan in this case is made through Chazaka. And there are some very interesting aspects of that.